They headed toward a four-story construction, with a metal fire escape up the rear, and double doors that were unlocked.
Feels empty. Don't hear anything inside. Move slow. Stay frosty.
Ryan nodded, and let Jack lead the way into the building. It was a dormitory by the look of it. Beds were arranged neatly across the floor, and all were empty. Otherwise, it was Spartan, with no signs of any individuality to break up the uniform monotony of the bare walls and beds. A glass storefront, whitewashed, led onto the street beyond.
Workers' quarters?
Yeah, but what are they working on?
There was one way to find out. They made their way to the front of the building, and Jack opened the door a crack. Something was in the air. Tangible fear. None of the intruders were immune to it. Something was almost saturating them with unnatural paranoia, a terror of being caught. Ryan suppressed the urge to give in to his panic, and the others followed his example.
Let's do this. Be casual, keep clear of any sec patrols, move with the crowds, and don't talk unless we have to. Stick close, and ignore that gnawing in your gut. Guess we've all got it, and it has something to do with Dr. Jean. But if we keep calm, we can do this.
He nodded to Jack, who pulled open the door enough for them to slip out onto the sidewalk. Into a strange world that seemed to operate in the night as though it were day. The enclosed ville had obviously been built at a time when Dr. Jean had a smaller population. The streets were teeming with people, all of whom had a slightly distant look in their eyes, and moved as though drifting. The streets were lit by the old street lamps, restored and powered by a generator. It was bright enough to be daytime on the sidewalk. All the traffic was pedestrian, and despite their distant look and languid movements, they moved with a sense of purpose. There were a few traders who had wares for sale, but as the recon party walked the streets, adopting the same pace as those around them, they could see that Dr. Jean had, for the most part, established some kind of centralized system, whereby food, clothing, and weapons were dealt out from large storefront concerns staffed by people wearing the colors of the wagons. There was evidence of the use of electrical devices from pre-dark ages, and Dr. Jean had a primitive video system operating, with screens on street corners preaching his singular message, coming together against the outsider, the different, and crushing them if they didn't conform. He seemed to have one hell of an ego. The walls were covered with portraits and murals, and the street corners adorned with statues, all of the same man. A tall, light-skinned black man, he was broad across the shoulders and had a wide girth. In representations of him, the authority in his strong square jaw and piercing eyes was obvious. Drifting with the mass of the population, they found themselves headed towards a large central square. Here, at one end, a number of banners with Jean's image hung over fires that burned incense and spices that filled the air with a seductive yet insidious smell. The recon party had felt that they had moved unobserved among the ville dwellers, but now it was different. It was an animal instinct in the square. If you were apart from the pack, then they could sniff you out. Jack and Ryan noticed that they were getting more and more glances from those who watched them pass, and the glances grew hostile. They stood out here, where the atmosphere of the ville was stronger, and the senses of the ville dwellers were sharpened. Jack and Ryan's hands tightened on their hidden blasters. Ryan had left the Steyr back at the swamp settlement, choosing only the Sig Sauer and Panga because they could be easily concealed. Jack's Magnum was always as well concealed as his knives. JB had his mini Uzi, and his M4000 was concealed by the long coat he wore for this trip. The two swamp dwellers carried hand blasters for ease of concealment, eschewing their regular shotguns. But even with their hidden hardware, they were hopelessly outnumbered. Jack, Ryan, and JB could see a squad, noticeable by its distinctive colors, making its way through the crowd, heading straight for them.
Fire blast! We need to get out of here.
The sec party making its way toward them was coming from only one direction. If Ryan took them in the opposite direction, forging their way through the crowd, they could reach one of the exits from the square and try to lose themselves in the side streets. Assuming, of course, that there were no other sec parties making their way toward the square. Only one way to find out. The recon party made their way through the crowd, picking up speed. It wasn't hard for the enemy squad to pursue them. They were rushing their way past people who looked at them with blank eyes, and the wake they created of jostling, moaning people could easily be seen in the otherwise calm and hypnotized environment of the shrine. At least the disturbed people were less easy in giving way to the next force trying to part them, even though it was their own security. All members of the recon party now had their blasters to hand and were waving them to part the crowd. The people seemed reluctant to draw and fire in the square. If it was a shrine to Dr. Jean, this could be a kind of sacrilege. Ryan hoped that they wouldn't have to start shooting. No knowing when they would have to fire once they were in the streets, and they didn't have a great amount of ammo or the time to reload at leisure. Pressing their luck, they reached one of the side streets, charged out of the square, and into the thoroughfare. Once again, the people parted before them. Ryan had two great concerns. First, they were in a different street to the one they had used to enter the square, so they had no idea where they were in relation to their escape route. Second, if there were video screens on the street corners broadcasting the glories of Dr. Jean, then it was also possible that among his old tech he had cameras that could be used to cover the streets, in which case, they were in trouble.
Where we going?
Away. We can be afraid later.
The commotion behind them grew louder as the Sec Force gained ground, the crowd parting more readily now for the men in the distinctive uniforms. They were gaining, enough for them to risk shots over the heads of the scattering crowd, which was the last thing the recon party needed. There was no way they would be hit by the first volley, but as it forced the crowd to part, it gave the Sec party chasing them an easier path and a clearer shot.
Jack, find a side street soon.
Jack had an inkling of what the armorer had planned. It was no more than he would have done himself. A narrow street on the right would start to double them back toward the dormitory building that concealed their escape. Jack took the right turn, and the others followed. The street was almost empty, the human traffic confined mostly to the main drag, and it was lit by 5 electric lamps spaced the length of the street. JB raised his mini-Uzi as he ran, with the blaster set to short bursts, and hit the lamps with chattering SMG fire that shattered them. For good measure, he took out the vid unit that stood on one lamppost. The darkness obscured their path, but it would make it harder for the Sec party to draw a bead on them. But JB wasn't finished. Jack led them onto another thoroughfare, cutting across to another side street. As they ran across, cutting through the crowd and pushing people out of their way, JB dropped back so that he brought up the rear of the recon party. He turned on his heel and fired above the heads of the crowd, taking out some of the lights and plunging a portion of the street into darkness. He lowered his arc of fire closer to the heads of the startled pedestrians, and the street erupted into panicked chaos. JB turned once more on his heel and raced to catch up with the others. There was no return fire from the street behind him. From the behavior of those in the square, he had deduced that they were unused to any blasters being used in the build. Now all they had to worry about was another Sec force intercepting them, and the small matter of finding their way back out of the build. The vid screens on the street corners were now filled with images other than those relating to Dr. Jean. They were filled with the images of the recon party running through the streets. The streets became a blur of artificial light, people, and buildings. There was no time now to make a proper wreck. They had seen enough before this anyhow. Now all they had to do was get the hell out. Ryan had no idea where they were headed. He could only trust Jack's instincts. Jack cut across more streets, this time firing to left and right of him with the Colt Python. The recon party was now using its hand blasters to clear a path. Some of the residents were alert enough to react when the recon party burst past them and drew their blasters to fire on the party, but the fire from the running men was enough to deflect their aim. They had headed off the main drag and raced down a series of back alleys that ran behind the old buildings that faced onto the main roads. They pulled up short, gasping for breath. They had run down at least 4 intersecting alleyways, and they had no idea where they were. They could hear wags rumbling in the ville, transporting Secmen to the last known locations to mount a search of the area. So much for keeping the recon mission low-key.
Where are we stopping?
Lost them for a while. No cameras.
Look, it's okay so far, but what...
Ryan, we left the screens behind a while back. And I'll tell you something else.
JB indicated to one side of the alleyway. It was a brick wall with a familiar 4-story building behind it.
You did it, Jack. But they won't be able to find their way out. Let's get to it.
Jack went up first, given a lift by Ryan and JB. Once up, he laid himself down and extended an arm to LaRue, while Ryan and JB assisted him to scramble up. After a struggle, LaRue was on the wall. Prideau was able to ascend with greater ease and was soon over by his fellow fighter, helping him to remove the cover. The fat man dropped into the sewer, sliding down the ladder. Back by the wall, Ryan had lifted himself up and clapped Jack on the shoulder.
Go. I'll help JB.
Jack nodded and slipped down onto the ground, moving like a silent shadow to the open sewer access. Ryan reached down for JB, and the armorer grabbed at his hand and tried to scramble up the wall. His feet lost their purchase on the wall, and he fell to the ground on the wrong side. Looking to his left and right, JB could see nothing.
Dark night. Why do I always have to take it last?
He pulled himself to his feet and took a running jump at the wall. He gained enough height and grabbed at the top of the wall. He felt Ryan's iron grip on his wrists, and the one-eyed man hauled up his old friend. The two men dropped down and ran across the yard in a crouch. Ryan waved JB down first, ignoring the sly grin the armorer gave him as he entered the tunnel. Ryan paused and took a good look around before he followed. The yard was quiet. There was no sign of any cameras or anyone who could catch sight of them. At least they wouldn't be followed from this end. He lowered himself into the tunnel, feet groping for the ladder, and pulled the metal access cover over the hole and retreated into the dark of the narrow ladder shaft. By the time Ryan had secured the cover and descended the ladder to the bottom, the concrete pipe was lit by the two torches, which the swamp dwellers had retrieved from where they had safely stashed them on the way out. They had waited in the dark until JB had reached bottom, then used his flint lighter to fire up the torches. They were giving off a strange hybrid smell, where the sewage water they had used to extinguish them mixed with the alcohol that had soaked into the rags. The burning effluent and the alcohol produced a roasted smell of indefinable unpleasantness, and also reduced the flame from its previous bright yellow and orange to a purple blue. LaRue looked at Prideaux, who indicated his agreement with a brief nod. LaRue got out his canteen, took one last swig, and poured the remains over the burning torches, which Prideaux held at arm's length. The recon party winced at the sudden brightness as both flared, and then settled into an orange and yellow flame that was possibly brighter than before. Gobbets of flaming alcohol hissed and whooshed as they dropped from the torches into the muck. The party trolled their way through the sewer, back the way they had come, until they reached the point where the broken pipe began to slope up. As they reached it, Ryan stayed them with a gesture. Having arranged to signal his return with a bird call he sometimes used on such operations, Jack left them waiting at the bottom of the pipe. LaRue and Prideaux waited anxiously, barely able to control their nerves. They were exhausted, strung out. They could hardly wait to put as much distance between themselves and the Lafayette stronghold of Dr. Jean as possible. By contrast, although they were exhausted, Ryan and JB felt strangely calm. They had seen what the Mad Baron had to offer, and they had trust in Jack to find them a safe passage back into the bayou. They didn't have to wait long.
No sec outside. If they have a radio, then outside patrols aren't tracking back. I can hear noise inside the Ville walls, but I figure they're still looking for us.
The recon party climbed out of the broken sewer pipe, squeezing themselves out into the narrow alleyway where the access was hidden. Moving swiftly and silently, realizing that they were alone in the ruined city, they made their way by the shortest route to the outskirts of Old Lafayette, passing through the ruins of West Lowellton. They paused at the point where the swamps began to reclaim the ruined suburb.
Do you know the routes their squads take? How regular their passes are?
Not really. We don't go near enough to make notes, you know what I'm saying? How about you, LaRue? Ever notice anything like that?
Don't know. Tell you one thing, though. They all seem to move out from their wags in a clockwise direction. Spiraling, you know? And they keep quiet the whole time. I know that ain't no help. All I'm saying is that we got to be careful.
No noise and no scent. Gotta be ready to blast anything that moves out there.
There was a moment's silence as the problem hit them in its entirety. There was no way they could plan to move around the worst of the patrols. All they could do was to quite literally trust a blind luck, which wasn't the greatest of prospects. JB looked up at the night sky. It was starting to lighten with the encroaching dawn.
Maybe we'll be all right. Sun should be up in about an hour, and if they come back during the day, then as long as we avoid the main paths, we should be okay. We can hear the wags, if nothing else. Other thing we need to watch is if they've got a radio system working in those wags.
Ryan understood immediately, even though Prideaux and LaRue looked a little confused.
Let's hope that they think we're still in the Ville. Otherwise, we're going to be running an obstacle course in a blindfold.
Given the choice, I think I'd rather take that right now. Let's haul ass.
The recon party headed out into the swamplands, keeping close and moving in single file. They kept to the lesser used and little known paths that had been cut by the swamp dwellers during Dr. Jean's rule. These were disguised and ran in oblique patterns to lead anyone who may stumble upon them away from the hidden settlement. Only rebels like Prideaux and LaRue knew when to diverge from them and hit other paths that had been cut. If the sect from the walled ville of Lafayette ever stumbled across these paths, it would be by accident, and they would have little idea of their true use. However, the wreck party still proceeded with triple red caution, knowing that at any moment they could cross paths with the undetectable sect patrols. They moved swiftly and in silence, as they had on the inward leg. There was no sign of any life, no clue as to where the sect patrols may be, and so everyone felt the tension build on them. They were well into the swamp and skirting around the area where the swampies had gathered when Jack stayed them. Listening closely, they could hear a wag and other wags in the distance.
Guess that settles that. They're on their way back. It's about time, too.
Yeah, it'll make getting home just that bit easier.
They relaxed, but not that much, as there were still other dangers that could spring at them, and they resumed their journey through the swamp. With the sect patrol safely on their way back to the walled ville, they were only natural hazards that stood in their way. By the time the sun had broken over the horizon, they had skirted the treacherous quicksands and bogs within the swamp, moved past any wildlife that could have posed a threat, and avoided any roving hunt parties of swampies. They were almost home. Home. Jack found himself thinking of the settlement in that way. Not because of the actual place, but because of the people in it. Not just Marissa, although she was a part of it, but all of them. Home sounded good. They reached the settlement and were escorted in by perimeter scouts. Waiting for them were the elders of the settlement, including Marissa and Beausoleil, as well as Christy, Doc, and Mildred. Marissa was eager for them to make an immediate report, but Beausoleil could see that they were exhausted. He asked Mildred and Christy to take them and make sure they were fed and rested before any further action was taken. After the recon party had slept for a few hours, eaten and bathed, they convened with the elders of the settlement for a debriefing. The whole ville knew what the wreck party had been sent for, but were to be told the details after the five-man party had been able to put their views individually in council. As leader of the party, Ryan had been the first to speak. He had detailed, as accurately as he could, how they had entered the ville and what they had seen within the walls.